This morning I'm asking you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be in verse 22 to start. I promised a couple of weeks ago that we would spend 2 weeks talking about wives, just like we did husbands. We start that this morning because God's word is true. And as we've seen in our society, I was thinking this morning after the first service of growing up and going to school, in public school, and it was very rare in those days, a long, long time ago when I was in school, it was very rare that somebody came that didn't have mom and dad that they had been born to and raised. It was unusual back then. It is not unusual anymore. Part of the reason for that is because we as a society, as America and even across the world, have compromised the truth of God's word. God's design for marriage is very specific and very simple. It is a challenge in our world today because there are completely different views that are being espoused all around us. But as we just said a moment ago and as we just prayed, God's word and his plan have not changed since the beginning of creation, and his word will not change throughout the rest of eternity. So as you and I learn it, my hope and my prayer is that we hold on to it and that we do our best to follow it. You don't have to follow God's word. Let's be clear about that. You can live however you want to. You have that choice in this life. You do not have to follow God's word, but whether you choose to follow it or not does not change the fact that it is true. And in regards to the family, it is absolutely 1,000% true. Regardless of what the circumstances you've been through in your family or where you are in your life in regards to family, it does not change. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We want to talk about wives today. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. God's word says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." So let's dig into this, just as we did the verses that follow this in regards to husbands a couple of weeks ago. If you missed that, it's real simple. Husbands, love your wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. Now, let me say this, that unfortunately in our society, many husbands and men in general have made a mockery of this design. And so women, those of you who are married or have been married and maybe not going to be married again, to those of you who've grown up in a house where this was made a mockery, I apologize as a man and as a husband to you. God's design is very simple. We have destroyed it by our own designs and our own expectations created in our own minds and with other people feeding into it. So I want us to look and see what God says about this word, be subject. What does that mean? Because it is God's plan, and he never gives us something that's too difficult, but he also never gives us something that would harm us. So if you've been in a marriage where you have been harmed by this, then I apologize to you. That is not God's design. Nowhere in his word were you to be harmed by this. So let's look at it. The first word in my version of the Bible, the New American Standard, yours may be a little bit different, but it's in there, wives. That specifically means a woman who is married to a specific man, okay? There is no room for gay marriage in God's plan. Not anywhere in his word. Wives are women, and if you missed Kenny's sermon on that a couple of weeks ago, the second Sunday in June, you can go back and listen to that. But wives here are women who are married to a specific man, okay? Let's jump ahead a little bit in that verse. He talks about husbands. Husbands are men who are married to a specific woman. There is no ambiguity here. Even if the world says there is, in God's design, there is absolutely no ambiguity. It is very simple. We say, well, it was written a long time ago. Yes, and God knew where we would be today. He also knew about other societies that would make a mockery of this throughout the history. But now here we are, in following God's design, hopefully, we choose to do that. Wives are women who are married to a specific man. Husbands are men who are married to a woman. Notice here's the good news, ladies. The words "be subject" are not in this verse in the original language. They're not there. So where do we get it from? Jump back with me one verse to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." What does that mean? Well, if we take this in the context of what he's saying in Ephesians, we've already seen in regards to marriage and family and even kids last week we talked about dads in Ephesians 6 verse 4. We've obviously talked about marriage. If you look at Ephesians, it's a very practical guide. It's a very practical guide for believers to live in a world that doesn't necessarily follow his design. And so he is addressing at the end, just before our section in Ephesians 5 verse 22, if you look back at like Ephesians 5 verse 18, he says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." He's talking about living in this world. Nowhere in God's word does he say you cannot drink alcohol unless you're underage, because you have to be subject to the governing authorities of the land. Okay, but repeatedly he says, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Holy Spirit." He goes on and says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to God." The whole idea here and the whole context is, as you live for the Lord, it should impact your everyday life. It's not something that just happens on Sunday morning when you come to church, or just because you're opening your Bible, or just because you're listening to a song on the radio that talks about God. The Christian life, if you heard Pastor Kenny preach or teach this morning in life studies, many of you were there, you heard what I did. In Luke 14, Jesus challenged us to give up everything to follow him. That includes every part of our life. And so here in verse 21, he says, "And we are to, as Christians, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." We're to hold each other accountable. We're to live life together. We're to understand that we're not all perfect and give grace there, but also help each other live the Christian life so we impact others. So he then goes to verse 22. That's where the idea of be subject comes from. It's inherited from verse 21 in the context. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. The word "be subject" here literally means to be under authority. You don't have to. But God's design is for a wife to be under the authority of her husband. Why? Because he says that's a part of what he has planned for marriage. Look at what he says at the end of verse 22. "As to the Lord." He's not asking you to do anything that he hasn't already expected of a believer in the first place. The idea here is with the husband and the wife that they're both in proper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He's not talking to people who are not believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's talking to believers. His design is for us to follow him and then come together in marriage and be a family, come together as a part of his design. How do we know that? Well, we're going to examine that. Look again. "Wives, be subject to your own husbands." Nowhere in Scripture does it say, wives, that you have to submit to another husband who is not yours. Yes, we understand there's a context of authority throughout our society. If you work for somebody and they're your boss and you've come underneath their authority, the Bible talks about that. We see masters and slaves. We see children and parents. We talk about those things. But in regards to marriage, husbands, you have a responsibility to love. Wives, you have a responsibility to submit yourself to each other in marriage, not to everybody else. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 2. I want you to see this has been God's design from the beginning. It has not changed and it will not change because it's God's word. Go back with me to Genesis 2, because if we're going to live this out, we also need to be able to explain it to others, our children, our grandchildren, friends and neighbors, even in a conversation, even if you're not married or you never are going to get married again. It's important that we follow God's design. Look at Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18. God's word says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Does anybody in there see that God made a mistake and forgot to make women? No. We have put a Western spin on this, and we have made it seem like God made everything, and then he said, "Oh yeah, man's going to be lonely, so now I'll just figure something out. Let's just make a woman." That is nowhere in Scripture. We've put that expectation on it, but that's not part of God's design. From the beginning, God planned to make woman. Nowhere in here does he say he made a mistake and decided later to add a wife to the picture. It was always part of his plan. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the 7 days of creation. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the specifics, especially with regards to the creation. And we see here what God's intention was. Go with me on to verse 19 of Genesis 2. "And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, so she shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." It's all part of God's plan. Did you notice something here? Did you see what God did when he created woman? When he created Adam, he created him out of what? Dirt, dust. Okay? When he created the animals, where did he create them from? Dust. He just said it in verse 19. "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal." Did he create woman out of dirt? No. He had a specific plan, but notice what his plan was. He took her from a rib in Adam's side. He fashioned her. He put her together exactly the way that he wanted her to be. And man responded and said, "Now she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, not of the ground like I am. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." The word man here means man. It doesn't mean it. It doesn't mean I'll decide later as I grow up or as circumstances change. Man means man. Guess what woman means? The opposite of man. God did not create man and woman to be the same. But we spend a long time trying to make our spouse like us, even though God created her to be opposite and different than us. That's part of his design. Look at what else he says. He said in here that he wanted to provide a helper. Say the word helper with me. Helper. Okay? A helper to come do life together. Notice that he did not take her out of any other part of man's body or out of any other part of creation. He took her out of his side so they could come together and do life together. Go with me back to Ephesians chapter 5. I could spend a long time there. That's why I did this for 2 weeks. We'll come back to it next week. But again, the idea here is that both husband and wife are in proper relationship to Christ. That's the idea in God's design. Look with me back at Ephesians 5, verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He he himself being the Savior of the body. Now, we said this a couple of weeks ago in regards to husbands, but wives, understand, your husband is not your Savior. He cannot and will not solve all of your problems, even though he thinks he can. He can't. Jesus Christ is your Savior. There is no substitute there. Even if your husband thinks he's your Savior, he is not. Please don't get that out of context. But notice what he says in verse 23. The husband, the one who's married to the specific woman who's opposite of him, is the head of the wife. What does the word head mean? It means to be superior in authority. But wives, remember, I already apologize for those who have held this over you. It is not God's plan for him to hold this over you. He has a biblical responsibility to love you in the same way that Christ loved the church and Christ gave up everything. You just sang about that. He gave up everything so that we can have the opportunity to be restored to a right relationship with the Father. So if your husband's saying, hey, you need to submit to me, then he's understanding God's design completely wrong. You don't have to tell him to love you. That's God's responsibility. The husband doesn't need to tell the wife, hey, you need to submit to me. God's word says it. Go memorize the verse. No, that's not God's intention. Let God take care of that. Notice that neither one of these, love or submission, are conditional on what the other is doing. Nowhere in there is a conditional. You have a biblical responsibility towards it. The husband is supposed to be the head of the wife. Do you remember what happened in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve fell? Eve took some fruit that she knew she wasn't supposed to take because God had told them not to take it. Adam did the same thing when she gave it to him. And when God came, did he say, oh, Adam, you're off the hook? Because Eve did it and you just didn't really know. No. God held him responsible because he's the head of that family, spiritually. And so God dealt with him in that way, and the curse that comes in Genesis 3, he had to bear the brunt of. She did too, they both did. And what I'm saying is he didn't get out of it because she did it and he wasn't paying attention. No, he was right there too. They were living life together. They were supposed to be helping one another. Notice that it says at the end of the verse that Christ is also the head of the church. If you flip back a couple of pages here, I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. He, or God, put all things in subjection under his feet, or Christ, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God's the one who put Christ in authority over the church, over the believers in Jesus Christ. God's the one who puts husbands in authority over wives. But again, their responsibility is to love you, wives. They have a biblical responsibility to do that. They got enough on their plate. They don't have time to be telling you to submit. That's not God's intention. His intention is for them to love and you to submit. Look again in Ephesians 5, verse 24, and we'll finish with this. But as the church is subject to Christ, or the believers, those who've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't have a problem submitting to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Women, do you realize, I shouldn't say women, wives, do you realize that God holds your husbands accountable for what happens in your marriage, spiritually, physically, raising the kids, taking care of the household? God holds your husband responsible because he's the head of the house, according to God's word, spiritually. So just like with Adam and Eve, and God came to Adam and didn't give him an excuse because Eve did something, God's going to hold each of us husbands accountable, men. And so wives have a biblical responsibility to submit to their husbands. Wives, let me give you a clue. The best way to submit to your husband is to encourage him. Don't encourage him and then immediately follow that with something he needs to do. It doesn't work. How do you know? Because I'm one. If your husband takes out the trash for the first time in 6 months, and that's an answer to your prayers, then praise him for taking out the trash for the first time in 6 months. But you don't have to point out that it's been 6 months or it's been an answer to your prayers. Just praise him for taking out the trash. Okay? That's submitting to him. I know, wives, that you've got a long list in your head or on your refrigerator or somewhere of all the things that you want him to accomplish that you think will make your life and your family's life better and your house better and all those things. He knows that they're there. Even though he's not doing all of them, that doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Men love to engage encouragement, not discouragement. If you follow up an encouragement or a praise with something that he sees as nagging or something that he sees as you trying to get your two cents in, you've just discounted completely your encouragement or your kind word. That's just one thing to help submit, come along beside. Remember what God's plan is for wives and husbands to come together and do life together. Notice, wives, he didn't have to tell you to love your husband. But he had to tell us husbands to love our wives in the same way that we love our own flesh, husbands. God knows what he's doing, and his design works. But again, you don't have to follow it. We say the family, because it's God's design, is worth fighting for. We've seen the deterioration across our country in regards to God's plan for the family. But God's design has not changed. Our society may say that that this is archaic and we shouldn't follow it. But if you and I want the benefits and the blessings of following God's design, there it is. Follow it. Help others follow it. Teach your kids to follow it. Don't make excuses. Even if you've messed everything up, that should not be an excuse for your kids to not follow God's design because it didn't work for you. God's design works, and it is eternal, and it's his plan, and he blesses it if we just simply follow it, and especially in regards to marriage. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the husbands in this room that are trying very hard to love their wives. And Father, I thank you for the wives in this room that are trying very hard to submit themselves to their husbands and do life together. Father, you created us different, and we spend a lot of time trying to make each other the same, but that's not your plan. Father, you've given us biblical specific responsibilities in marriage because, again, marriage by design, by your design, is to represent what Christ did to the church. And so, Father, help us to follow your design. Regardless of what happens with our friends or in our society or what the news says or our favorite song or anybody else says to us, Father, help us to desire to follow your design for marriage because we know it will work and it will carry us through the end of eternity. Father, thank you for your design. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.